24066.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you recusing yourself?
I'm not recusing myself, but I will not be voting in the case.
Before we even introduce anyone, let me tell you that although there are five people here, there will only be four people voting on this matter. Therefore, I would give you the opportunity of putting this off to another date if you would rather wait until you have a more full board, or we can go forward today with four votes. It would be your choice. Both sides' choice.
John Grasso for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. We're prepared to proceed.
Sir? Ma'am?
I think the merits of our case will be clear to you that what we have is an unfortunate incident because of a medical reaction, so let's go.
Go forward.
Now, let's clarify who this gentleman is and what his relation is.
It's my husband.
All right.
But it's your choice.
But it's not an attorney representing you, so you no. are the appellant that we should be talking to, correct?
It's okay. We can go ahead with it.
Okay. So, Attorney Grasso, you've already introduced yourself.
Madam Chairwoman, with me is Trooper Cullen McCormick of the Connecticut State Police, who will be testifying.
First name Cullen, C-U-L-L-E-N. Last name McCormick, M-C-C-O-R-M-A-C-K.
Brief statement of your case?
Yes, this is a matter of a permit revocation following a very serious and dangerous mental health incident, which culminated in discharge of a firearm within the appellant's home by the appellant, apparently when she was suffering hallucinations. And that is it in a nutshell.
And your case in a nutshell?
Can I speak?
No. I'm sorry.
You're putting us at a severe disadvantage.
No, I'm sorry, it's not my decision, actually. It's, normally the appellant gets to make the case, or her attorney, and you're not, so you're not that. You could be a witness, you know, at some point in these proceedings.
I'm very astute on the facts in this matter, and my wife gets kind of nervous when she talks, and she might stutter, and so I think I can explain to you with clarity.
We do need to hear from the appellant explaining with clarity to judge whether she's suitable.
Let us hear from the issuing authority, and then we'll determine who will speak on her behalf.
Thank you.
Doesn't she have to make an opening statement?
She doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to make an opening statement.
But did we ask her if she wanted to?
Do you want to make an opening statement?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Trooper McCormick, at about 3 a.m. on March 21st, 2023, were you dispatched to a residence in Lebanon, Connecticut, in response to a resident calling 911 to report that there was a man, an intruder, attempting to gain entry to her residence?
Yes, I was.
Were you dispatched with another trooper?
Yes, I was, Trooper Vendrillo.
Okay. Was the appellant who is present here today the person who placed that call?
Yes, she was.
When you and Trooper Vendrillo arrived on the scene, was the appellant still on the phone with Troop K?
She was.
Did you or Trooper Vendrillo observe anyone outside the residence, specifically in front of the residence, on the porch attempting to gain entry to the residence?
I did not.
Did you hear a shot fired within the residence?
I did.
Was that a surprise?
Yes, and after the shot was fired, dispatch informed me, since they were still on the phone with her, that she just fired a shot, and they informed her to put her firearm down and step outside.
So she was informed by the dispatcher, put the firearm down, come outside?
Correct.
And she did do that?
Yes.
Did you then interact directly with the appellant?
I entered the residence to check on the husband to make sure that he was not injured in the incident, and then I spoke with the appellant after.
What did the appellant have to say?
She explained to me that for about 25 minutes she seen a man at her front window just standing there. I think she explained the man was putting dots on the siding, and then he entered the front door and he kicked the door in, so she fired the shot in the ceiling.
Now, you and Trooper Vendrillo were outside observing the residence at the time the shot was fired, correct?
Correct.
Did you observe anyone kicking in the front door?
I did not.
Did the appellant tell you that she suspected the man who had just kicked in her front door was a neighbor and that she had had problems with the neighbors?
She did. She explained that to me verbally.
Okay. Now, you say that you spoke to the appellant's husband. Is he present here today?
He is.
Do you recognize him?
I do.
What did he have to say about his spouse's mental condition?
He said she had fallen at work at Big Y, and ever since then she was declining, and that there was no issues with any neighbors. And he often she explained verbally too that she often sees children playing in the yard. And he explained that he's never seen any children in the yard.
Let's talk about where the shot was fired. Did you observe a bullet hole in any section of the interior?
I did. So once you enter the door and the support beam above the door.
Okay. Now, what was your impression of the appellant as you spoke with her? Did she appear to you to be of sound mind?
She did not. I thought she was experiencing a mental health crisis, which is why I filled out the police emergency request for evaluation and sent her to the hospital.
And again, the appellant told you that a man had just kicked in her front door and that this was the reason that she fired the shot.
Correct.
And again, that had not happened, had it?
No.
And you say you prepared a written request for an emergency examination.
I did.
Was she transported to a hospital by ambulance?
She was, Wyndham Hospital.
Okay. Did the appellant's husband explain to you what he thought the problem with his spouse might be?
I referred to it in the report, but I think he where is it? He believed it was based off a previous head injury from her falling at work. He explained that she had medical problems after she had fallen at work at Big Y.
Thank you. No further questions for you at this time.
You have a right now to cross-examine these people about what they have just said.
Can I act as her behalf, please?
Would you like your husband to act on
yes,
your behalf
please.
As your helper?
Okay. Most of what you say is accurate, except for I was asleep at the time, and your partner came up.
Excuse me, this is your chance to ask him questions to clarify his testimony.
That's what I'm doing. I'm attempting to do.
No, it didn't sound like a question. It sounded like you were just
okay.
Making a statement.
Well, the question was, did you talk to me or your partner talk to me?
That was me who talked to you. I walked up your stairs, walked in your bedroom, and you were laying in your bed.
The tall trooper was the one who came up in my bedroom because I was totally asleep at the time.
I assure you it was me. I was the first one into your residence, and I checked on you first.
Okay, well, I have a different regulation.
But you're now asking him questions about what he said.
Correct. Okay. And when I talked to both of you, things I mentioned the head injury. That occurred in approximately 2016.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay, now, when you applied for that situation for her to transport to Wyndham Hospital, did you give us a chance to voluntarily go, or was it your professional thing that she's going no matter what?
That was my choice based on my reasonable belief that she was a danger to herself or others based on her actions.
Okay, but that's a subjective decision. Did you, at any time, did you see her being aggressive, or was she scared?
Not aggressive, no, but just the shot fired in the ceiling made me believe she was a danger to other people.
Okay, in your professional opinion, it going into an overhead beam, did that endanger anybody?
I can't testify to that.
Okay. When you came upstairs, how far away was the bullet strike to where I was sleeping?
It was a hallway before the stairwell. I don't know the distance.
It was approximately, the house is 20 by 40, and so I was probably 35 feet away from that, my bed. Okay. When you were there outside, could you see the lights of the motor vehicles going down Clubhouse Road?
I don't recall.
Okay, could you describe the property that you went to?
I remember I came down a dirt road and I was in front of the residence with the front door and the large window.
Okay, the bay window. Would you describe the location as a rear lot in a rural setting?
It was rural, but I cannot attest to the layout.
How long do you think the driveway was?
I don't recall.
Okay. What was the distances between the house and the neighbor's house? I don't even remember.
I don't recall.
Okay. Thank you. Both of you and your partner were acting very professional at the time, and I commend you.
Appreciate it.
But you were the bad cop. Your buddy was a good cop. Pick that up quick.
Questions for the issuing authority? From the board? Yes.
Okay. Approximately, describing the situation, how far was the gun from whatever it hit over her head?
Are you talking about the distance?
The muzzle of the gun to the distance of the beam that the bullet went into.
It was possibly like an 8-foot ceiling, and she was holding the firearm, maybe she's probably about 5'7", so a couple feet above her is where it entered.
A couple of feet, okay. Mm-hmm. And what was the composition of the beam that the bullet went into?
Wood.
And how thick was the beam?
It was a support beam, so it was pretty thick.
Okay. Did you make any attempt to recover the projectile?
I did not.
Did you see the projectile?
I could see the hole that it created.
An entrance hole? Was there an exit hole?
Negative.
So the bullet stopped inside the beam?
I did not check into it, but I would imagine it was still in there, correct?
Okay, because there was no sign of a ricochet or a bullet
Negative.
Strike anywhere else.
Negative.
Okay, thank you.
Redirect?
Other questions from the board? Do you have another question?
Yeah. What type of firearm was it?
It was a revolver.
Okay. What kind of sighting device was on it?
I did not check.
Okay. For reference, there was a crimson tree, red dot. So where the dot goes is where the bullet strikes.
So this is a chance to present your case, and you're saying that your husband will act as your spokesman?
Yes, please.
Okay. Most of the documentations, the troopers professionally presented were accurate. However, the information at that time was inconclusive. What we did learn after she went to the hospital was that one of her medications was not in balance. That was found out rather quickly, and so therefore they took her off.
Excuse me.
Okay. the medications were out of balance, so she was held for observation, and because of the trooper's protective order, she was sent to Charlotte Hungerford in Torrington, and we live in Lebanon, and so that was quite a haul for us. The case in a nutshell is we got involved in a white labyrinth, a mouse maze, and there was unintended consequences. When I retired from the National Guard in 08, 09, we went, got TRICARE for life, and our medical provider became Bacchus Health in Colchester. When you're dealing with one of these emergency cares type situation, we had a revolving set of doctors over the years that we've been there. At the time, Peggy was treated by a nurse practitioner, Kathy Karp, who graduated St. Joseph's in 2014. Part of her care for my wife was to help my wife lose weight. She prescribed certain medication that I was not aware of, and both of us weren't aware of the reactions this medication could give us. So before this time, she left the practice, went to a weight loss in Waterford, and we were waiting for a new doctor, Dr. Hilwa, who was a very experienced medical doctor with like 25, 30 years experience as our new doctor. So I personally knew something wasn't quite right. We tried to get a contact with one of the medical providers, but since they didn't think it was a 911 situation, we'll wait till Dr. Hill will to come. So bad things happened, this situation happened. If you read, who's Detective Sensi, who did the initial death, who I've been communicating with?
Possibly someone in the special firearms licensing unit.
Okay, well, we got the discharge papers of that, and basically the discharge, if you look at it, and what I said was this, basically they figured it out, was a medical imbalance. She was saying she's looking forward to go home, and they released her after a period of time with instructions for us to find medical practitioner to monitor her medication. Her original neurologist, Dr. Toro, we see him regularly, but we went to a Dr. Gisari, who is a psychiatrist, and he's, in the past 2.5 years, everything is good. When we first time we met Dr. Hilwa, her new practitioner, we explained to her what happened. She heard the meds, and she said, "Wow, I wouldn't prescribe them. That needs specialized training." And it questioned whether Kathy Karp was capable of doing that when somebody with more experience said she just needs specialized training. Since then, we went back to Kathy Karp. She's lost almost 50 pounds, but we and Kathy personally, after telling this story, apologized, saying, "I'm sorry." However, when we asked for a written statement of what happened from her, the liability issue, hey, I can't do that. Before this hearing, we've been trying to get Dr. Cesari, who provided a statement saying her status, and here's where the white labyrinth came in, because no medical person wants to say, "Hey, Dominus Gobisco, she's okay." They will tell Dr. Jazarian, in deep conversation with him, said, She's not suicidal, she's not depressed, she's not aggressive, all these other capabilities. And I wrote that in a email to your trooper, detective who was doing that, and explained that, gee, we're sorry this happened. We have a new understanding of medical reactions, and we have better communication with us now, and I don't think this will ever happen again. So, what else can I say? This is an unfortunate collective tolerances to that. And as far as a couple weeks ago, Dr. Jazeri, in discussion with him, was awaiting your detective's call. So we both realize there's stuff that you can't write on paper that you can say in a verbal conversation to say, hey, two and a half years later, she has no reoccurrence. And that's basically it in a nutshell.
Ma'am, do you agree that that's an accurate recitation of your situation?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you agree with what he said?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you change anything that he has said?
No, it was, to me, it was just a reaction to the medication. I'm doing very well now. You know? But the only thing is, it's hard if you wanted the doctors to, you know,
nobody. I think we all are aware of that. Do you have any cross-examination?
Very brief.
Who is he cross-examining?
Well, I think you would have to cross-examine the appellant, but perhaps her spokesman will help her answer.
Thank you.
So, directing, accepting that the appellant's husband's presentation was in the character of just a presentation, if I understand the correctly, the board does not regard his colloquy as testimony?
No, I think we would have to regard it as testimony.
Perhaps I should, just thinking aloud, perhaps I should direct my questions to him.
Considering that he actually is her spokesman and her witness, I think that's appropriate. Were you
going to
say something?
I just want to offer, maybe get some feedback from the board. This, for me, the case speaks directly to her condition at the time, her actions, and her pistol permit. The accounts and testimony, or colloquy, of her husband are great, but it's going to take away from the credibility of her presenting on her own behalf. But that's what we're looking at. So we're free to proceed as the chair would like, but I would offer that it's, for me, it's taking away from the case to receive testimony on her behalf, in her interest.
I agree.
What would you like her to say?
My concern is if the appellant is unable to present her case here, it speaks to her ability to safely use a firearm.
To my question, sir, the board and I have the appellant's questionnaire, and at section 19 of the appellant questionnaire, which is titled State Here Any Additional Facts, there is a several paragraph summary. Do you have, has your spouse, the appellant, or have you submitted any medical documentation of any sort in support of this statement, meaning written materials?
The, I mean, trying to get letters from the doctors stating, and it seems like no one really wants to write them because they all say it's liability. You know, we can't do that because I've tried, I've asked, so.
Have you produced any, brought with you today or otherwise produced to the board or to me, any medical records of any description or
yes.
character?
We have the...
Sir, you have to let her answer. You can't, under your breath, prompt the witness.
We have the release from the hospital in Torrington, and we tried to get a letter from Dr. Giuseri, but he wanted to speak with the detective. He did not want to. He wrote one letter. He wrote one. And then the detective said that he didn't understand that. And that, so Dr. Giuseri said, well, have him call me.
So again, just to focus this for a moment, I have, and I believe the board has, a single written statement, which is in response to question 19 of the appellant's questionnaire. Have there been any other writings of any description or character bearing on medical conditions submitted to this board or to me? I'm not aware of any. I will say that it's not a trick question. I'm just simply not aware of any.
Discharge, and there's a...
To focus you a bit, has this board or have I received any piece of paper other than the appellant's question?
We email them to your detective. His responsibility is to provide them to the board.
Okay.
That was my assumption when we're dealing with that.
Okay. So, to your knowledge, the board has nothing more, and I have nothing more. Thank you. I have no further questions.
I have one about the letter that we're talking about, question 19. Did you write that, ma'am? Did you type that?
That was the original.
No. Let her answer.
Yes.
It's not signed. Why is it not signed?
Okay, I just forgot.
So you're sure you actually typed that, not your husband? Because it seems your husband speaks for you often.
It was part of the attachment that she signed.
Did you type that question and answer that question?
Yes.
And did you fill out the appellant questionnaire? Is that in your handwriting? In other words, did you fill out this appellant questionnaire?
It's in my husband's handwriting, but I filled it. I told him what he needed to.
He actually filled it out?
Yeah. And
I
signed it.
Is everything in that form accurate? Because sometimes when someone doesn't fill it out themselves, a mistake could be made. Just want to make sure that it's accurate.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
Yeah, this has to be directed to you because I want to ask you about your state of mind at the time you fired the gun, and your husband isn't you, so you need to answer this. When you fired that shot in the air and it hit the beam, did you intend to hit the beam, or you were just firing the gun in the air and it hit the beam because the beam was in the way?
It just hit the beam. I had it like this, and it just, I fired it, it just went up in the beam.
Yeah. Well, I asked that because, you know, from the testimony we've heard, the bullet stopped in the beam, didn't go anywhere.
No,
we haven't
found it yet.
Okay, and so, again, I was curious as to, you were deliberately going to shoot it into a safe backstop, or whether that just happened to be there, and I think you answered that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions from the board?
I just wanted clarification. The appellant's husband indicated that he emailed a copy of the hospital discharge summary. Why is it that we don't have it and you don't have it?
I do not know. I do not know that to be correct, and I've not seen it.
That's quite unfortunate.
Other questions from the board?
Do you guys have that with you?
Yes, sir. We do.
And that's the, that just, that's the correspondence between your party and the detective Senti?
These were the stuff we submitted. I got a copy of the email to, as a cover letter to the detective, talking to him about pointing out what is in these documentations. I know the trooper is very professional on his first interaction with him, but since then, and talking to Detective Christopher Sentry, or however his name is, I talked to him one time, emailed him several times, I never got any feedback to knowing if you were provided the stuff from the trooper. Because this, the nutshell of this case is in these two documents, the discharge, the doctor's note, and I tried to, as eloquently as we could, explain our viewpoint that, yeah, we got a new understanding about medical imbalance and unintended consequences of these. And I submit, yeah, we're saddened that this happened, but there's a reasonable explanation that we didn't understand the medication she was given for weight loss would cause her to have this situation. We didn't know the side effects, and this could happen to anybody.
But these documents that we don't have, would those normally be simply sent to the police department, or would they be sent as part of the application?
It should be sent to both of us. We are not affiliated with law enforcement, so what they get, we have no idea what they get. So it probably would have been beneficial to send it to the appeals board also to be in the packet, but we didn't receive it.
While we're talking documents, I think I've said this before. A lot of the documentation for you is almost impossible to read. The copies are just very poor copies. Any other questions?
Yes, I am a bit confused because in some of the materials I read, there was reference to the altered mental status being related to a head injury, and you did, the appellant and her husband did not speak to that issue. It spoke to medications being prescribed for weight loss.
I was at work. I had worked for a food brokerage company out of Massachusetts, and we go into Big Y. So your item that you like so much is on this part of the shelf, but the next time we go in and then you can't find it because it's on another part of the shelf. So we were standing on crates, and I just happened to fall off of it and hit my head on the floor. So I suffered a concussion from that.
Was that at all related to the incident in 2023 that's the basis of this denial?
I don't think so. I think it was just the medication imbalance.
Okay. And what were the medications that you were prescribed by the APRN?
Toprol XL and Topamari.
Do you mind if I take a look at what those are?
You're more than welcome.
Attorney Whitney, would you like to see the copies of my correspondence?
May I just ask for a clarification? Is it Toprol or Topiramate?
They're both. There were two. I don't know if the understanding that it was the Topamate and the Toprol is a Toprol XLP.
Okay, because I can find no medication that's called Toprol.
Let me see if I can find it.
Well, the basic issue is that there was a problem with medication that was changed, isn't that true?
Maybe it was.
I'm no longer on those medications.
Do you mean just Toprol? Perhaps, not Toprol, but Toprol XL?
Probably, maybe I'm mispronouncing it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Toprol, just for the information to the board, Toprol XL is a beta blocker. It's used to treat hypertension and angina. It's not used at all in the treatment of weight loss. It's used to treat migraine, atrial fibrillation, heart failure, angina, and hypertension.
They had me on both of them. I don't know why, because I have blood pressure medication, but that wasn't used for blood pressure medication.
Okay, so
well, I think that the issue for us is that there was a mistake or a second judgment about medication that in your testimony has been solved now.
Yes, I'm no longer, that was taken, they were taken away from me when I went into the hospital in Torrington.
Would you like to make a final statement of your case?
If I may. Are you on any medications currently, ma'am?
Yes.
Would you be able to tell me what those are?
I have, do you need all of, I need my blood pressure medications also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's...
any prescribed medication or over-the-counter medication?
Olmesartan, that's a blood pressure. I'm sorry.
Take your time.
Let's see the other ones.
And sir, if you're aware of what they are, please assist your wife.
Okay. Dr. Jaziri, in his letter that unfortunately the esteemed state police people did not say, he has several listings of, I can't even pronounce this one,
Trazodone, 50 milligrams. I take that at bedtime.
And so what do you take that for, ma'am?
Sleep.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. I take Latuda. It's 20 milligrams. It's, I take that at nighttime.
Okay, and what do you take that for, ma'am?
That's one of the medications that Dr. Jaziri had given me.
Okay, and for the treatment of what?
To be honest with you, I'm not really sure.
And he's the psychiatrist you're currently working with?
Yes.
And he and you're not aware of the psychiatric condition he's treating you for?
I know that I have depression sometimes.
Well, that's an antipsychotic medication.
See.
Used to treat hallucinations, delusions, and disordered thinking.
Yeah, I take it, but I only take 20 milligrams. It's not, it hasn't been changed. You know, they haven't gone up on it. I've had it from him for about a year. Year and a half.
Is there anything else he's prescribing for you, ma'am?
That he's prescribing for me? Yes, Prozac.
And that's an antidepressant?
Yeah, 40 milligrams I take at night. I mean in the daytime.
Okay. So those three medications.
That's his, that's from him.
Trazodone for sleep.
Yes.
Latuda, 20 milligrams, unclear in your mind for what indication. And then Prozac, 40 milligrams for treatment of depression?
Yes.
Okay, and then you have a primary care doctor as well, ma'am?
Yes, it's Dr. Hilwa. Uh-huh.
And what is he treating you for?
It's a she.
Or she.
I just go in for, they check my blood pressure,
uh-huh.
And whatever else she wants to talk to me about,
uh-huh.
The blood tests,
Is she treating you for high blood pressure? What are the conditions?
No, she's not treating me, but she keeps an eye on it. I have a cardiologist that takes care of the blood pressure.
Okay, so you have a specialist who's taking care of you for, is it just high blood pressure?
Yes.
Okay, do you take any other medication from the cardiologist?
I'm trying to, all of a sudden I'm blank, I can't. I know it was Losartan.
Are you taking a medication like to control cholesterol or anything like that?
Yes, Rubistatin is called, but that's like Crestor.
Yes.
Yes, I take that.
Crestor, okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Would you like to make a final statement of your case? Summarize your case.
I'd like to read the email I sent to Detective Senti. Is that pronounced? Detective Senti, it attaches the discharge notes on Margaret Titer's hospitalization February 22nd, 2023 to February 27th. The file is 28 pages, but page 27 and 28 attached is a summary that supports our original statement that this case happened because of a medical imbalance caused by an APRN attempt to help her in weight loss program. It is also indicated on her discharge the patient was deemed not to represent an immediate risk or harm to either self or others and was cleared for return to the community. She has continued follow-up treatment by Dr. Waldy Jazeri from her discharge until present. He has submitted a file for your investigation dated February 1st, 2025 and sent to you. He states behavior has been stable and uneventful. No side effects are reported or in evidence. Under the exam section, her mood is erratic, whatever that word is.
Euthymic.
Okay.
That means normal mood.
With no signs of depression or elevation. She convincingly denies suicidal ideas or assaultive or homicidal thought or intentions. There are no signs of thought disorder. Associations are intact. Thinking is generally logical. In discussion, this report during Margaret's May 2025 telehealth section, Dr. Jazeri would welcome any further questions you might have. He stated with me that it in his profession, they make statements as he wrote and lets the reader make their conclusions. I responded that in recommendations of your profession, you would, this is talking to the detective, you would like a go or no-go response. I guess it all goes back to what we wrote in our original appeal letter on July 27, 2023. With that discovery and medical changes, the situation was resolved. My husband and I have a new understanding as to medical imbalance. We would be more vigilant to ensure there will not be a recurrence. We respectfully ask for reinstatement of my permit. No, the past 2+ years are an indication of our sincerity.
Who wrote that email? Did you write that email?
Yes, in conjunction with my wife.
Because it says my husband and I. But you didn't write it. He wrote it.
We both.
In other words, I tell him what to do. He types it up.
Okay. So you typed it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Your final statement.
Thank you. In the circumstances, there must be persuasive medical evidence that the appellant is now of constant sound mind. There's been the suggestion that in the appellant's questionnaire that the head injury had some bearing. There's been testimony that weight loss medication had some bearing. the burden's upon the appellant to produce compelling medical evidence, and that's not been done regarding the appellant's husband's communication with Detective Senti. I can't speak to that. I was not aware of it, frankly. But be that as it may, it's not this agency, DESPE's, role to investigate. It's not, Detective Senti is in all probability not even competent to attempt to interpret medical records. But we can respond to conclusive statements, conclusive correspondence from medical professionals regarding the appellant's condition and her state of mind and issues of that sort. And those haven't been forthcoming. Not even the materials that the appellant spoke to a short time ago through through her spouse were provided to this board. And they weren't provided, they'd never reached me. But again, I want to focus us all on the reality that it cannot be the role of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection to swim through materials and attempt to reach some sort of conclusion. The medical professionals with whom the appellant has treated declined to issue such a writing. The testimony was that they were solicited and
deferred. In all due respect, sir, please, I disagree.
Don't interrupt me.
Yes. Well, that's what I heard. I heard that an APRN and a physician, I believe a psychiatrist, were asked to prepare a writing speaking to the appellant's condition and declined. And they may have their reasons for declining. I'd only be speculating, as would the appellant and her husband. So, given the gravity of this situation, the Department of Emergency Services stands on the revocation and asks that the permit not be reinstated at this time. If in future compelling medical evidence is forthcoming, there's the opportunity to consider that. Thank you.
Comments from the board in preparation for a vote. Dr. Conrad, you had a lot of questions.
I appreciate my conversation with the appellant and her husband. On the other hand, I would have liked to have you have submitted that information directly to the board. Nancy, double-check me on this, but my understanding is that we need to receive records 10 days in advance.
In the letter, I highlight it as special needs. If there's a hospital stay, that we're looking for discharge papers.
And that letter was presented to
correct.
The appellant.
Yes.
And so that's really how we function, and mm-hmm. that's what gives the board members, including myself, an opportunity to review those records and typically, yeah, but they weren't submitted.
I submit them to the detective.
Please, stop.
If you go back to Ms. Lotus's letter to the appellant, it says submitted
to the board.
A minimum of 10 days in advance of the hearing. Mm-hmm. I think for me, that's critical information for me to review. And then to render my own opinion, and then the other board members make their decisions independently as well.
Attorney Sinead, you're not voting on this matter?
No, I have a professional association with the appellant's husband, and therefore ethically I'm prohibited, I think, from voting in this case. But
Mr. Gray?
Yeah. Issuing authority.
Oh, we're voting, okay. We're going right to the vote. That's fine. Chief Rosenzweig.
Certainly the documents that they have would be important to see, but more important would be the current treating psychiatrist letter saying, I know the situation, I know what happened shooting into the ceiling, and the person is suitable and safe with a firearm, and that's what we don't have. And I think that's what the issuing authority is saying.
And if I may speak again, Madam Chair, in a situation where a physician or professional with whom you're working is unwilling to provide that documentation, you always can seek an opinion independently from another professional, mental health professional, and provide background information as well as an in-person exam. That person, hopefully that person then would be willing to provide the information to the board. But I think for me, in making a decision today, I feel the absence of those written materials for me to have reviewed in advance is important.
So your vote is?
I'm going to say issuing authority at this time.
And Mr. Gray said issuing authority.
It's perhaps too soon.
And Chief?
I'm issuing authority.
And I vote issuing authority also.
Can I ask a question?
Thank you.
Good try.
Pardon my ignorance. In providing documentation to the detective, I thought we were supplying it to the issuing authority, the board, and then I mean to them and to the board. Pardon my ignorance, but I would assume a reasonable person could assume that the state police would have shared this information with the board.
But that's not the instruction you got from the board. So that's our decision.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Case number 324172.